ever have trouble hearing that voice? A voice that tells you I'm here. You're not alone. A voice that says, this is the right way to walk. And we all want to hear that. We all want to make the right choices. We just want to hear the voice. Making the right choices. I mean, even in the little, just the everyday, daily stuff in life, it's hard enough. But then what about those moments when the clouds roll in? Those times when we're in the middle of a storm and we have to make a critical choice. Why does it seem that in life, at those rare moments when it seems like the decision-making stakes are raised even higher than normal, the clouds seem to be all that thicker? Making the right choice in the middle of a storm may be the toughest work of life. And yet, we just want clarity. If we could just hear the voice clearly, we would step in the right direction. And where does faith play in this thing? Where does our faith and having faith, does it make the way we make these choices different? Does it make our choices different? We're going to spend this weekend taking a look at a framework for those of faith. A framework for those who want to hear that voice a little clearer. And the tools that God's given us that lays out a framework for making wise choices, especially when the clouds are thick. Let's pray. God, you know our hearts. There's no one in here that wants to make bad choices. But yet, God, you also know our histories. And you know that for all of us in our histories don't quite match our hearts all the time. God, we just ask that this weekend that you would show us the gifts you've given us to help make that voice clearer. The tools you've given us to be able to walk in the right direction in the middle of the storm. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how often you found yourself in life with kind of the decision-making stakes amped up. Some of those rare moments in life where making the right choice, choosing the right path was particularly important. Maybe you're young and maybe you've only had that maybe once in your life. Or maybe you've had it a handful of times. Maybe you're in the middle of that right now. Maybe for you, it's a critical decision of, am I going to go all in this new business that I want to start? Or maybe for you, it's, is this the right person, God? Is this the right person that I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with? Or maybe it's even more intense than that. Maybe it's a medical decision that you're facing. Maybe it is literally a decision of life or death for you. And the stakes seem to be raised and the clouds seem to have gotten thicker. And you just want to hear that voice. I know for me, I've probably had maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 times in my life that I could call one of these moments. And for me, I am just coming fresh off one. Just in the last couple weeks. Critical decision that I had to make, and the clouds seemed to be thicker than ever. And without, you know, kind of sounding melodramatic about it, literally a decision that could have meant life or death for me. Many of you know that one of the things that community here at Crossroads feels very strongly about is that God has uniquely blessed us resources that we need to be part of bringing love and justice to some very dark places of the world. And we feel that it's been very clear that God has to bring love and justice to some places that have very little of either. And it became very clear as part of that work, starting in about January, so it became very clear that I was going to need to move the work forward in the way that we needed to move it. I was going to need to go physically on the ground to one of these places that were involved. And that was clear. I mean, that was very clear. It was very clear that God has moved our heart in this direction and that He significantly wants us to be part of bringing love and justice to some very powerless people in the world. That was very clear. And so I made the decision. But then so often it's kind of we make an early decision in the time between when we make it and when we actually need to act on it. Sometimes it seems that's exactly the time that the clouds roll in. And so the clouds started to roll in for me. And things started to go south in this place of the world. And I started to get the daily reports of these civilians were killed. This bus was blown up. This family was raped and murdered. This church was firebombed. These people were kidnapped. And every day, and the bodies started to pile up. About 700 in all by the time that I had to go there. And it didn't quite seem so clear to me anymore. But the work that we feel called to do, seemed to be very clear. And you know what, I just want to apologize to our first impression folks. Please, you know, come on down. They're going to go ahead and pass the offering bags. And this is one of the ways that, you know, we fund some of the stuff that's going on in the world. Some of the things we're going to be talking about in more detail next weekend, it's funded out of your generosity. But, you know, also know that if you're a guest here, don't feel any, you know, kind of big pressure. Just please pass that bag on by. So we feel very called to some of these things in the world, but it started to get pretty fuzzy for me, this particular decision. And so for me, what I found in this was that the critical nature of some very basic tools God's given us for decision making. And in fact, it just kind of reinforced to me that it seems like the thicker the clouds get, the bigger the storms that we are in our life, the more very basic and simple the decision-making tools God has given us are. And so what I want to do today is just kind of walk through and reground us in some of those very basic tools that I found come to life in even, you know, kind of a brighter, more clearer way for me just in about the last 3 weeks or so. A decision-making process that wound up for me 2.5 weeks ago, a little over 9,000 miles away from here, ended up on that Friday in the middle of a desert field in a cement block house surrounded by razor wire and 12 angry guys with AK-47s. This is not a dream. One of which, in particular, was very unhappy with the work that Crossroads has been funding there. And so they took me in a little room and they started to ask me questions. And they didn't like my answers. And in the middle of this, you know, and I am not, you know, kind of Mr. Brave Adventurous guy. You know, would never see any reason to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. You know, I would never tear that do not remove tag off the mattress, you know. It's not kind of my profile. But in the middle of this, I felt great clarity from God that I was in the right place. And so where does that come from? I mean, I didn't get to that point. It wasn't clear all along. It got very, very cloudy and dark in this storm of should I go or not. And see, I felt like I had two kind of strong competing values these last three weeks that were at war in me. One was, I like to think that I'm at the place in life where I'm willing to go where God wants me. That I am open to God's direction and going to places that I may even not like, that He may want me. I have a very strong value of that. I have this other value, though, of, how would I say, I like to live. Okay? I've become quite addicted to the idea. You know, I really enjoy living. Even in, you know, the more darker moments of my life, I've always really loved living. You know, even dark moments of, you know, being hurt or betrayed or, you know, when Michael Jordan retired, you know, some of those real, you know, kind of darker moments in life. When Carson Palmer went down last fall, I still liked life, you know, become quite addicted to the thing. So I felt like I had these competing values. And for me, decision-making, this is not kind of like a normal thing for my life. I mean, my normal weekly rhythm of decision-making usually is along the lines of things like paper versus plastic, you know, or, you know, Subway versus Arby's, you know, those kind of decisions. But in this case, the stakes were significantly raised, and I found I had to go back and reground myself in some very basic tools that God's given us for making wise choices and hearing that voice. The first one is circumstances. I mean, I think of very clearly a key tool God has given us for making wise decisions are circumstances. I think for a lot of us, the vast majority of the time, the greatest gift God has given us is our common sense. And our brains are a tool that God has given us for making wise decisions. We cannot ignore circumstances, and we need to pay particular attention to them. The problem is, though, in our world, I mean, there's kind of two problems with that alone, though. One is that circumstances aren't always clear. Even just looking at the environment and the circumstances around us doesn't always give us a clear, consistent picture. I mean, in my case, the circumstances were saying, the reports that we were getting, the advice from people I trust, the U.S. Embassy telling me, do not go. This is a bad thing to do. At the same time, the reports were also very clear that some of the things that were going on and some of the things that were happening to children, somebody needed to go, and they needed to go sooner rather than later. So the circumstances were pretty cloudy on this. They weren't all pointing in the same direction. That's one of the problems with circumstances. The other problem with circumstances is a lot of people use this as the sole variable in their decision-making equation. The only thing they use to make decisions, to make choices, are their circumstances. And that's it. Problem with that is, you don't have to be, you know, a big Bible scholar to have recognized that, you know, the litany of stories that are in the Bible, the names of people like Noah and Moses and David and on, all had key crossroads in their lives where they had to make a decision that significantly went against their circumstances. And not just in the Bible. I mean, think about it. You think about it. Has there been anybody in our world that has made a significant difference on anything that hasn't come to a key crossroads that's had to make a decision that went directly against the circumstances around them? Names like Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr., and on and on and on. See, circumstances need to be part of our decision-making process. We need to not ignore them, but they cannot be the only variable in our decision-making equation. And fortunately, they're not. God has given us other tools. You know, for me, as a follower of Christ, in addition to circumstances, I have this. I have the Bible. Now, I know that we have folks in here that are, you know, kind of all over the place on what this means to you. You know, we have people at one end of the spectrum who believe that this is, you know, kind of an interesting work of literature. And all the way at the other end of the spectrum, we have people who believe that this is actually God's word and truth for our life, and we need to follow it very carefully. And what I'll say is you need to come to grips with where are you on that? Where are you on that? Because one of the key impactors of the quality of decisions that we make is the quality of the information that we're getting. And so you need to come to grips with, you know, which is why during the Da Vinci Dialogue series, we talk so earnestly about that of have your questions, absolutely, but don't stop with questions. Get your answers. And so For me, I've wrestled through that, I've asked those questions, and I've become absolutely convinced this is the most documented, the most debated, the most analyzed, and the most verified documents ever in the history of the world. And that it's God's word for my life. So this also enters into my decision-making equation, not just circumstances, but the Bible. And within the Bible, you know, it kind of talks about this in one way. This is in the book of 2 Timothy. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That scripture is a useful tool for us in our decision making. The Bible is much more than that. It's not just, you know, kind of a how-to manual to us to maximize our life, but it is useful as a decision-making tool. Now, the problem is, when most people, their early experience, you know, thinking about, well, we use the Bible, you know, kind of help make decisions, the default we tend to slide to is, we know the decision that we want, we know how we want it to come out, so what we do is go into the Bible and we find some individual soundbite that seems to support that decision. And then we say we've, you know, kind of consulted the Bible. When the healthy principle is, it's called taking the full counsel of God's Word into measure. And what it means, it's a little bit harder work than finding one little soundbite and following out the window. It says, I need to take it the full look of how God talks about this issue in the Bible, and then how that applies to my life. And I know that can seem, you know, kind of like somewhat of a daunting kind of challenge. But for you, maybe coming out of this weekend, the one thing you take out of this weekend is, I'm going to start to kind of explore that in some way. I'm going to pick up, I'm going to buy one of these things, you know, called a topical Bible. Or there's called a life application Bible. And those are Bibles that have a tool within them that's arranged by topic that help you kind of get a broad counsel of God's Word on that particular topic that you're dealing with. I wish I had time to take you through, walk you through all the scriptures that I've been walking through as part of my decision-making process over the last month. I don't have time to do that. I just have to say, you know, you just need to trust me that there were two key themes that kept jumping out of the Bible, that were laced throughout the Bible as I looked through this decision of, should I go to this place where I was hearing that I shouldn't. The first theme that really comes out throughout the Bible to me is that God wants me, Brian Wells, to be part of bringing justice and love and power to the powerless around the world. That's not open for debate. If I'm going to call myself a follower of Christ, command after command in here compels me to be part of that work in some way. That doesn't tell me I need to get on a plane and go to that place. It tells me I need to be part of that work in some way. It's very clear when it tells me that I need to be a defender of widows. I need to be a father to the fatherless. I need to bring power for the powerless. I need to step in and be a voice for those that have no voice. It's very clear, as a follower of Christ, I need to do that. That was one theme that was very clear. The second theme was that if I am convinced, if I am clear that God wants me to go to a certain place in the name of that, fear does not need to be part of my equation. It's very clear that if God has called me to go to that place, fear does not need to be part of my equation. Now, it's not a promise that nothing will happen to me. It's just a promise that I won't be going alone and that fear doesn't have to be part of my equation. Now, you'll notice there's a pretty significant caveat in that. If I'm clear that God has called me to go to this place, then fear doesn't have to be part of my equation. So for me, in this situation, the Bible didn't solve the problem for me. The Bible did not answer my question because the Bible did not tell me I was to go to this place. I still have this big question. I still haven't solved the big if. Now, sometimes in our decision making, we don't have to go any further than the Bible. If the big thing that I've been wrestled with the last month is that I should walk out on my family and you know, kind of leave them hanging and kind of pursue my own thing in another part of life, that's very clear. I don't need to pray about that. I don't need to get guidance about that. It's very clear the Bible will tell me that's a stupid, selfish thing and I'm not to do it. I don't need to take my decision-making equation any further. The thing is, though, there's a lot of our decisions that aren't specifically addressed within the Bible, and things that we do would fall within the parameters of the Bible and still not clear what our choice is. It was clear for me that being part of God's justice work in the world is what He had called me to. It was clear to me that fear does not need to enter in the equation if He's called me there, but it wasn't clear still that I was to go in this instance. So for me, and for you, it's very fortunate that our decision-making equation doesn't end with circumstances in the Bible. There's more tools that God's given us. Prayer. Prayer enters into this equation for us. This idea of actually talking and listening to God. See, the thing is, at this point in my equation, I was very confused. Things were not clear. Circumstances were pointing in one direction. I was still feeling this urge in me from God that I was to go to this place, even though it went against circumstances. And the Bible wasn't helping clarify the choice for me. When we're in that kind of confusion and those kind of clouds, that's where prayer particularly kicks in. For instance, I love the way the Apostle Paul talks about this in the Bible. This is in Philippians. He talks about the role of prayer in a storm like this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And this is my favorite part. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And it promises that there's a peace of God that's available to us that transcends understanding. That there is such a thing as possibly a peace that's available to us that goes against logic and goes against circumstances. And when we find that, it will guard our hearts and our minds. It will guard our feelings and our choices. That was the thing that I was asking for. That was the voice that I was struggling to hear. And see, I think the problem is, particularly when we're in the storm, we tend to think of prayer as this time of, okay, well, what I need to do is, I need to kind of really get myself cleaned up now. You know, and I need to really rehearse the right vocabulary and really make sure I get all this exactly right and then bring this thing to God. And maybe that will be the magic combination that unlocks it. When in fact, all prayer is, particularly when we're in the storm, is all prayer is bringing whatever we've got to God. You know, we cannot bring anything that we don't have to God. All that we can bring is what we've got. And so prayer, particularly in the storm, it's not about cleaning ourselves up and finding just the right verbiage. It's just bringing whatever we have to God. And so if all you have right now in the middle of your storm is anger, that's what you bring. If all you have in the middle of your storm is confusion and questions, that's what you bring. If all you have in the middle of your storm is doubting that there is a God in the first place who could ever let you in a place like this, then that's what you bring to God. That's all prayer is in the middle of the storm. So, in the middle of the storm, that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it in a pretty intense way, because I feel like every day as the reports come in, the stakes are getting higher and higher in this. And for me, this involved, and this may seem like this total, like, otherworldly, you know, kind of thing. For me, it involved this concept of fasting. As the idea of going without food for a period of time, just as kind of this helpful discipline and kind of focusing my prayers and being focused and trying to cut through the noise and the regular rhythm of the world to try to see if maybe I could hear the voice a little bit clearer. And for me in this prayer equation brought a very significant thing to light for me. Very significant thing that I felt God was using this decision to kind of work in me. You know, we talk about the next level here at Crossroads, and we tend to talk about it as this thing that we do on Wednesday nights sometimes, the next level. When, as a matter of fact, the next level is an overall concept that God has for all of us, a next level of growth, of new places that He wants to take us. And I felt like in my times of prayer about this, I felt like God specifically challenged me and said, "Brian, I have a next level for you. I have a next level of growth." And Brian, I feel like you have... You've really surrendered a lot of your life. You really trust me when it comes to money. You really trust me when it comes to your job, you know, and all these things. But Brian, there's one area you do not have full engagement with me on. And it's costing you joy. And Brian, I want not only all this, I want your kids. I want your kids. Brian, you trust me with a lot of things, but you've got this thing in you that you hold your kids so tightly that you cannot fully trust me with them. And you cannot have full joy as a parent because of that. See, for me, and maybe, you know, for many of you as well, you had to ask me what my worst nightmare is. It's a very easy answer. I don't have to wrestle with that. My worst nightmare by far and away is that my kids would grow up without a dad. far and away my absolute worst nightmare. You know, not even close. And I know that, you know, if I died or something, I know they would grow up without a dad, you know, because Nancy and I have had these conversations, several times, and including, you know, just about 3 weeks ago as I was wrestling through this, and, you know, she may really, you know, I'm trying to tell her, you know, hey, if anything would ever happen to me, you know, you just know you have complete freedom to remarry, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she's all, you know, very clear to me that she would not marry again. And this is one of those things where tone of voice really comes into play. Because what she said to me was that, I'm not getting married again. You know, and if she had said, oh, I am not going to get married again, you know, that would be one thing. But, you know, instead her answer was, I am not going to get married again. You know, is basically what her clear, not quite sure. I guess I should take some sort of twisted comfort in that. I don't know. And my worst nightmare is that my kids grew up without a dad. And every once in a while, that kind of flares up as this key thought. And for me, one of the more powerful moments was maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago. And my son John had a classmate, his same age, another little boy. As a matter of fact, a little boy that looks a lot like John, lost his dad. And it was a pretty tragic way. And I ended up being somewhere where this little boy was, this classmate of my son's. And at this thing, this little boy is very talented. At this event, this boy sang. And he sang this song that was all about what he's kind of found about God as kind of somebody who takes care of him. And if you're at that event, you know, you could tell very clearly the people that were at that event that knew this little boy's story and what he had been through, and those that didn't. Because anybody that knew his story and then heard what he was singing, you were just weeping. Everybody in the place that knew this little boy's story was just weeping to know what he's been through and having lost his father at such a young age, and yet how he can sing these things about God. And I remember my primary reaction to that was two things. One was how incredibly touched I was about that, and just what a, without, you know, sounding trite at all, what an incredibly warm moment that was. And then secondly, remember my reaction was, yeah, not my kids. Not my kids. That is not, I never want to see John or Grace in that situation singing that song. I don't care how warm and encouraging and affirming moment it is for the community around them. God, you've not called my kids to that. And so every once in a while, this thing is kind of flared up. And I felt like God, through my prayers, is making clear to me that you've taken something that's very healthy, and it's your stewardship of your kids, and you've taken it to an unhealthy place where it robs you of some of your joy. And so I'm in the middle of wrestling through this decision, and circumstances aren't clear, and the Bible's not giving me a clear answer. You know, I'm praying about it, and I find myself in the middle of this. I find myself at Next Level here on Wednesday night. This is the first Next Level that we had in June. And now at this point, I'm 5 days away from needing to get on a plane. 5 days away from needing to get on a plane. And I'm at Next Level, and we're doing music, worship in music at the beginning, and I'm really enjoying that. But just as if every other minute of my life over the last month, this cloud is over the whole thing and this decision that I have. And it's really weighing very, very heavily on me. And so we have our worship through music. And then at the end of kind of the worship set, Stephen decides to add a song at the last minute that he hadn't originally planned to do as part of the worship set, and added it at the last minute. And he kicks into this song. And I've only heard this song, to my best memory, I've only heard this song once before ever in my life. And it was out of that little boy's mouth. And so Stephen launches into this song. And it just, I'm like, I know that song. I've only heard it once. God, and we both know where I heard it. And we both know, you know, how I processed that. And I'm sitting there and he's singing it, and it's just getting more intense and more intense. And I'm thinking maybe I should get up and leave. And I'm sitting right up there, and I just start weeping. and just start weeping. And I'm crying and just crying like crazy. And it's not, it wasn't sadness. It was anger. It was anger. I'm up there and I am getting ticked off. And I'm saying, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but I reject that. That is not for my kids. No, John or Grace, they're not going to be singing this song 3 weeks from now, and everybody's going to be so moved and so touched by how you comforted them and how you're there for them, and then they go home to a house without a dad. No, that's not our story. God, I reject that. And I'm hoping I'm not saying most of this out loud. I'm not quite sure, you know, at the moment whether I am or not. And I'm just getting more angry and more angry. I'm feeling like I should get up and leave. It's not healthy. And I feel like I have this voice speak to me. And it was not an audible voice, but it is as clear of a voice that I have ever heard inside my head ever in my life. And in the middle of that, in the middle of all that anger, and me having that conversation with God, I feel this voice say, are you listening to the words? Are you listening to the words? I was like, no, I'm not listening to the words. Thanks for asking. As a matter of fact, I was just about to leave, okay? Not listening to the words. I felt like this voice, are you listening to the words? And then Stephen decided to go through the song one more time. And I kind of sat back in my seat and I heard the words. And it's a song that most people know as He Knows My Name. And the words were, I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. And I felt like at that moment, God said to me, Brian, if I have called you to a certain place, you need to know you're not going alone. This is not a blanket promise that nothing's going to happen to you. This is just a promise that you're not going alone. You need to know that I know your name, Brian Wells. I know your name. And you know what? Brian, you need to know I know Nancy's name. I know John's name. I know Grace's name. And you need to know that whatever love you're giving them in this life, you need to know it's not your love. You're not creating that. You are passing on my love through you. And if I need to deliver that love to them through another way, I can do that. Brian, there's a greater joy in life if you learn to love them and let go. Can you trust me? And so for me, now the clock is ticking and it's 5 days, and it seems to me that circumstances are telling me one thing. It seems to me that the Bible's not completely clear for this. And it seems to me that my prayer is telling me that he wants me to go. But I'm still not sure. I still don't have this thing that I was asking for of great clarity. I'm leaning that way, but no, I wouldn't call it clarity. Very fortunate for me and for you is that our decision-making equation doesn't stop with circumstances and Bible and prayer. There's also this incredible tool that God's given us. This is how he talks about it in that Old Testament collection of wisdom in Proverbs. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And the clear picture that we get throughout Scripture is that we are not called to do life alone. We're not called to make decisions, particularly in the storm, as a solo act. We have this tool called community that's available to us. Not only available to us, but we are compelled to use it. God did not create us to make decisions in a vacuum. And so what we need to do in all decisions in life, but particularly when we're in the storm, is we need to look for people around us that fit a couple criteria. One, people that know us well. And two, people that have a track record in their own life of making God-honoring decisions. And I know for some of us, the crosshairs of those two things can be a pretty small world. I know that, but we need to be working at cultivating community around us where we have at least one or two people who know us well and have a track record of making God-honoring decisions in their life. And we need to bring them in as advisors in our decision-making process. And sometimes in some decisions, there's a third criteria we have to add on. Not only people that know us well and have a track record of making God-honoring decisions, but also people that maybe have a particular area of expertise that's needed in this decision. See, in not every decision will we have the exact same kind of counselors and advisors. It may vary from one decision to the next, depending on people's strengths. You know, me, for instance, you know, I'm not the kind of guy you should come to, you should ask, you know, for driving directions somewhere. That's, you know, I should not be one of your key decision makers and telling you how to get from point A to point B, even if it's just from Oakley to Hyde Park. You know, it's just a gene I'm missing somehow. I'm not sure. And the worst of it is I'm actually a bad combination. I'm somebody who doesn't know north, south, east, west. I have no sense of direction, and I have a great deal of confidence that I can get you there. You know, so I'm a bad, bad combination. People pull up to me on the street and they ask for directions, and I'm so confident, and they end up lost, I know, and I feel bad about that, but I try, and I have the best heart, you know, in it. But, you know, for me, I'm a friend in your life. You don't come to me for, you know, decisions about how to get from one place to another. Now, you know, if you have, you have some questions about the Bible, you know, or soccer, or, you know, how to please a woman, you know, those kind of things. I consider myself somewhat an expert, you know, in some of these areas. I just may be able to help, you know. And I say how to please a woman in the most family-friendly way, okay? So, talking about being a good listener here, okay? I don't know. We need to be careful about how we choose our advisors, but we need to bring community into the mix when we're making a decision. And so for me, I felt, and as an introvert, you know, this is kind of a significant challenge for me. As an introvert, I felt like, you know, this is a key challenge. And I felt like about 3-4 weeks ago, I felt God tell me, you know, Brian, I don't know if it's pride in you. Well, I mean, he knows, but for me, I don't know if it's pride. I don't know what it is, but you've got to open up. I as a month ago, I hadn't been completely candid with Nancy about a lot of the stuff that was coming up that I was seeing and I was wrestling through. And I felt like God tell me, you need to lay that down and you need to get candid with people around you. So I started, everybody that was in my life in some sort of close measure, I started begging for their prayers. Begging for their prayers. And a key thing you need to do in this, though, is I made it very clear with all of them. I said, hey, this is a serious decision. I want to let you know the weight of this decision is on me, okay? Don't think that you're making this decision for me. Don't feel that weight. In the end, I own this. But I need who you are as part of this equation. So would you please be praying about this for me? And would you please let me know if you feel like you're feeling some promptings or anything like that? I just need to know that you're praying about me and I'm not making this decision alone. And the key thread that seemed to come out over the course of those couple weeks from people that were close to me and were passionately praying about this was, one, they weren't totally clear either, but the consistent lean was that they felt that the time was right that I was to go, even though what circumstances were saying. Now, here's the deal. I had circumstances. I had the Bible. I had prayer. I had community. And they were starting to significantly lean in a certain direction was that I was to go. They weren't all consistent. It wasn't unanimous. I think sometimes we think that, you know, these tools God's given us is going to enable it. It's just going to make the decision for us. You know, there's not going to be any need for this uncomfortable thing called faith within our equation. When the fact is, I've never had a significant decision in my life, when I count up like maybe the half dozen or so that have been most critical to my life, I've never had any of them that all the indicators pointed in the same direction. And I found that in every single one of these, there's this place where faith and being stretched has to play into the mix. And I think too often, here's what we do. Even those of us that would use all those tools as part of our decision making, what we do is we use all those and then we put a final step into place. And we say, okay, God, these tools seem to be pointing in a certain direction, but now I need you too. And we invent some super miraculous thing that needs to happen in order for us to then act on those tools. And we ask God to kind of show us in some way that He's never spoken to us before in our life ever. When in fact, the secret that I have found is use the tools that God has given us, see where it's pointing us, and then tell God this, then say, okay, God, my default is going to be using the things you gave me. My brain, common sense, circumstances, the Bible, prayer, community. I'm going to use the tools you've given me. When they point in a certain direction, God, now I'm going to go in that direction. Would you please miraculously intervene if I'm wrong? And our default becomes to go and act on the tools that He's given us instead of our default to be staying unless He miraculously intervenes. I think for a lot of us, particularly, we get to that place in the storm. That place in the storm, and we're hoping that this equation will eliminate any need for faith. But then we find ourselves, if we're willing to step out and realize that faith is part of every journey, we step out and we start walking through the clouds and we feel like we're really stretching out and we're really going to unknown places and we're really going out of faith and we're really stretching, and then we start to look back in those clouds and we start to realize that we've been led all along. I think sometimes we just get to that place where we have to realize that faith is part of the stretch. And that sometimes it's in the stepping out that then we get the clarity. And so I ended up, I haven't always made decisions like this, right? But I ended up 3 weeks ago on that Friday in that little cinder block house, middle of that desert field, surrounded by razor wire and these dozen or so young angry guys with AK-47s, and they took me into this room and took my cell phone away, took my video camera away, and one of them stepped in front of the door to block me stepping out and started to ask me questions. And they were questions based on a significant conflict that's going on in this country and some real suspicions they have that people from the West might be on the wrong side of their equation. And started asking me questions of challenging me about the work that we were doing there and why we weren't doing work more in a way that they wanted to in another part of the country. And they would ask me the question and I would answer them. And then he would turn around and he would ask me the same question again. The exact same question, same words and all. Answer the question again. And he would ask it again. Step back in front of the door. Obviously, I was not giving him the answer that he wanted. And I felt at that moment, I felt kind of the culmination of this whole, you know, kind of decision-making journey. I felt the culmination. I felt God very clearly tell me two things at that moment. One was, Brian, I want you in this country right now. And then the second one was, I don't want you in this room right now. You know, and that was the fortunate one, you know, of the two. And so the guy, the one soldier asked me the question again. And I answered him, and you know, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what it was, other than I think the confidence just of what God had told me. I answered him the question again. I stepped to the side, I walked around him, and I walked out of the room. And they didn't follow me. They just let me go. I'm not sure, you know, kind of what their agenda was. I only know that at that moment, I felt the sweetness of the payout for this framework of making decisions. And I had not made a decision in solo. I may have been standing there at that moment in that room by myself, but I was not alone. I had made that decision out of circumstances and prayer and the Bible and community, and that faith came into play as part of the stretch. And I looked back in that room and I realized that I had been led all along. And I think that voice, whatever it is that you're wrestling with, that's what we're all looking for. That whether we turn to the right or left, we're going to hear a voice that says, this is the way. This is the way, walk in it. And I think too often we don't hear that voice because we don't fully lean in to these tools of decision making that God has given us. I just want to take, you know, just a brief moment here. If you just, you know, kind of close your eyes. And I just want you to ask God. Just ask God, God, is there one of these tools, is these one of these tools that I've been neglecting that I would have more life if I leaned into and I would be able to hear your voice clearly?